Okay, so I'm going to give a little bit of a shir on Inyanei Rosh Hashanah, basically. There was a fellow, his name was Reb Itzela Blazer. I want to talk a little bit about him, and then we'll give the shir. Who is Reb Itzela Blazer? Reb Itzela Blazer was also known as, his name was Reb Yitzchak Blazer. Blazer or Blazer. He is also known as Reb Itzela Petterberger. He was born in 1837 and lived 70 years. He was Nifter in 1907. He was from one of the three Gedolei Talmidim of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter had three Talmidim: Rabbi Itzela, that's the one we're going to talk about today, Rabbi Naftali Amsterdam, and the Alter from Kelm. Rabbi Itzela was known as a big gaon. He eventually took a job in Petersburg, Russia, then the capital of Russia, I believe. And he was known as a gaon. And he's also known as the one who published his Rebbe's Sefarim. Without Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, didn't write so much. Without Rabbi Itzela, we wouldn't have too much Torah from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. So he put out, Rabbi Itzela put out a book called Or Yisrael. Or Yisrael has a few parts to it. There's the Sha'arei Ayira, introduction to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's methods. Then there's the Or Yisrael, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's. He has Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's letters and Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Torah, and then at the afterwards, there's something called Nesivasar, a short biographical sketch of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Very kedai to read. It's something that everyone should read. It's unbelievable. And then he wrote his own sefer called Kaichvei. Okay, so Kaichvei is Reb Itzela's own svarim. Now, besides for that, Reb Itzela wrote a sefer in Lomdus, which is highly adopted in all the yeshivas. When you learn Bav Metzia, there's a famous sugya of Zakin Vein Lefi Chavoydei. They say over Reb Itzela's Torahs. Many different sugyas and shas we say over the Reb Itzela's Torah from the sefer Pri Yitzchak. Now, the sefer is named Pri Yitzchak for something very interesting. Reb Itzela didn't have children, so he wrote in the introduction to a sefer, I'm naming the sefer Pri Yitzchak, in lieu of children, this will be what I'm leaving behind on this world. That's what he wrote in volume one. In volume two, there's an introduction signed by his son-in-law. So what's going on over here? Very interesting. Reb Itzela did not have children, and his wife insisted that he gets divorced because I guess he was a tzaddik. He didn't want to divorce his wife. He had too much hakaras hatov to her. But she insisted that it was understood that the problem of having children was her problem. So she insisted, she took him to a din Torah, I believe, and she insisted that he gets divorced, and he got remarried when he was in his 50s. So late in life, he had four children. He had a child, Shlomo Blazer, and three daughters. One of them married a famous person, Mishkovsky. Forgot his first name. It was a Rav in Europe, and then he also came to Eretz Yisrael. Reb Itzel lived in Europe, and then at Seif Yamav, he lived in, I believe, the Bate Strauss in Yerushalayim. Anyways, I know somebody who met, not knew her, but met Reb Itzela Blazer's daughter. Remember, Reb Itzela Blazer was born in 1837. He died in 1907. But because he got married very late in life, he had a daughter probably when he was in the 60s. So that was around the year 1900. And he had a daughter that lived like 100 years. So around the year, in the late 90s or around the year 2000, I know someone who met his daughter in Eretz Yisrael. Just briefly, I'll tell you a quick story about him because I'm going to be saying something over from him, Reb Itzela. There's a book that was published in the 80s called Vintage Wine, Barrel Wine Stories. Somebody took all the stories and put it into a book. I saw a very interesting story in there. So Rabbi Beryl Wine was a Rav in Muncie. I grew up in Muncie. There were times as a child, I davened in his shul. His shul was on Carlton Road. And Rabbi Beryl Wine said there was a man in Muncie that was very old, like 100 years old. And he asked the old man, like, what did you do in your lifetime that you attribute your longevity to? So he says, let me tell you, this fellow who lived in Muncie, he was born in Kovno, okay? Where he lived in Kovno, or in a suburb of Kovno. And there was one time there was a pogrom and the Goyim came in and wiped out his parents. So he was a young kid wandering without parents. And he came to Kovna, Reb Itzla took him in. Reb Itzla had a Beis Medrash or Yeshiva. And Reb Itzla, he said, bought this boy his tefillin and made a little kiddush. At the time, he put on his Anachas Trillin. So this boy loved Reb Itzla like a father. He didn't have parents. He loved Reb Itzla like a father. So besides the Reb Itzla was a Baal Musar, a Tzaddik, and a Talmid Chacham, Reb Itzla also had a beautiful voice. And he used to daven Yom Neram. So it came to Yom Kippur, the last tefillah of Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, Reb Itzla was davening for the Amud. Now, this doesn't sound too litvish. It doesn't sound too cold. But after they finished Ne'ilah, the people in Shul were on such a high that everyone started dancing and singing and dancing. And this boy, who loved Reb Itzla so much, went into the middle where Reb Itzla was and started dancing a little bit wildly with Reb Itzla Petterberger. And in midst of all the frenzy, the boy accidentally kicked Reb Itzla as hard as he can in the shins. But Reb Itzla didn't want to embarrass the Yassim, so he was hopping on one leg. It was very painful. So he stroked the boy's chin and cheeks, and he said, "Langs du sollst leben." He gave him a bracha. "You should live very long, but please, brickel nicht mit dein Fies. Try not to kick with your feet when you dance." So the guy said, "That bracha I took with me for my whole life. That bracha that he got from Itzla." So Reb Itzla was a tremendous person. If you want to read up about him, there's a 5-volume set called Tenuas HaMusar from Rabbi Dov Katz. It's a classic on the Musar personalities. I believe in volume 2 he has a whole section dedicated to Reb Itzla. And recently there's a biography that I believe a grandchild wrote, from Reb Itzla's grandchild, biography of Reb Itzla. I just recently saw it in Zundel Berman's. Anyways, I want to say something over from Reb Itzla. Okay, so Reb Itzla says like this. The Rambam says, just like when a person dies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu reviews his life and sees his chusim and avoinis b'shas misasei, kach b'chol shana v'shana. This is true every single year on Rosh Hashanah. Shaiklin avoinis kol echad v'echem iboil oilim im zuchuyis b'yomtev for Rosh Hashanah. Mishanim to tzaddik, if you found to be a tzaddik, nichtam l'chayim. You found to be a tzaddik, you are nichtam l'chayim, and you will get a good verdict of life. Okay. Mi shenimsa rasha, summon le'aleinu with nichtam rasha, nimsa rasha, nichtam lemisa. And the Beinoni is toilenoise ad Yom Kippurim. The Beinoni is hanging in balance until Yom Kippurim. Im asa tshuva nichtam l'chaim v'im lav nichtam lemisa. See, during Aser Simei tshuva, to get his act together. So the Rambam says, if he does tshuva on Yom Kippur, he'll be nichtam l'chaim. If he doesn't do tshuva, he'll be nichtam l'misa. So Reb Itzla wants to know, why does he have to do tshuva? If a guy has, for argument's sake, 50 zechuyis and 50 avoinis, all he needs to do during Aser Simei tshuva is one mitzvah. And that should tip the scale. Why does the Rambam say you have to do tshuva? That's the kasha. Okay, it's a very famous question. Now, Reb Itzla does point out, why is this a kasha on the Rambam? Why isn't this question on the Gemara? Now listen to the Gemara. The Rambam is quoting a Gemara. The Gemara is Rosh Hashanah Daf Tev Zayin Amibayz, Amar Rav Kris Bedoy, Amar Rav Yechanan, Shleisha Svarim Niftachim Rosh Hashanah, Echad Shal Rosham Gemurim, Vechad Shal Tzadikim Gemurim, Vechad Shal Beinanim. Tzadikim Gemurim is written and signed immediately for life. Rosham Gemurim is written and signed immediately for death. Beinanim is Teluyim V'yayimdim Rosh Hashanah Adi Kippurim. If you're Beinani, you're in balance between Rosh Hashanah and Kippurim. So the Gemara says, Zachu, if you merit, you'll be Nichtav L'chaim and Yom Kippur. Loi Zachu, if you don't merit, then Nichtav L'misa. So Reb Itzla explains on the Gemara, it's not difficult. Zachu in the Gemara means if you merit, meaning if you do a mitzvah and you tip the scale. But the Rambam took this Gemara and said, that when it says in the Gemara Zachu and Loi Zachu, it doesn't mean if you did a mitzvah or you didn't do a mitzvah. The Rambam redefines the Gemara. Zachu means if you did tshuva. Loi Zachu means if you didn't do tshuva. Why do you have to do tshuva? Why is that necessary? Even if you don't do tshuva, if you do a mitzvah, you should be able to tip the scale. Okay, so that's Reb Itzla's kasha. I'm going to tell you 2 mahalchim. One is Reb Itzla's. Rav Hutner in Pachad Yitzchak Rosh Hashanah, I believe Maimon Yud Ches, has an alternate pshat to Reb Itzela. Both are very valid and have what to teach us. So if we learn both Mahalchim, even though I happen to understand like Rav Hutner, I look at, it's easier to understand things like Rav Hutner's Mahalach, but even according to Reb Itzela, there's something to glean and something to take in our personal Avodas Hashem. Okay, so here Reb Itzela goes like this. Every time you do an Aveira, it is the sin. But besides for the fact that you sin, Rabbeinu Yoina says, every second you do not do tshuva, you're doing another Aveira. Okay, here's the Rabbeinu Yoina. Ki achote kashi is achel loshu mechatosei. Someone who sins and delays and procrastinates. Yichbad alav ma'oid onshe b'chol yom. Every single day, his punishment gets worse. Ki hu yoide ki yatsa ketzer lover. Everybody knows that Hashem is disappointed in him for doing the Aveira. V'yeshli monus lanus shomei. He has a place to... of refuge. He has a place to escape. V'amonesu ha'tshuva, he can do tshuva. V'hu ayme b'merdei, yet he stands in his rebellion, v'hine b'rasei, u'b'yodi lotzes mitech afecha, v'lo yogum le'afachem, and he refuses to do repent. Al-kein rasei rabbi. Now there's a famous mashal for this. V'yomu rabbi seyde z'chorin levrach al-inyan hazeh. Mashal kat listim. So Chazal, it's a medishin kehela, says like this. Imagine you have a group of bandits. She'chavoshom ha'melech bebeis asurim. The king captured them and put them into jail. V'chotu machteris, and they dug themselves out. Partu v'yaveru, and they escaped. V'nisher echonem, one decided he's not leaving. Bo sar beis asoyar, the jail warden catches the guy. V'ra'ah machteris, and he sees the tunnel that was tunneled out. Okay, so he sees that everyone escaped except one guy. V'yach oisei b'mateu, the jail warden beat him up. Amalei kishay yaim, you difficult one. Haloya machteris chatur lefanecha. You see, it is a way to escape. The echloi mihar tahimalin avshecha. Why didn't you bother escaping? You must love jail too much. You had the ability to escape. Why didn't you escape? So Rabbeinu Yoina says that's the same thing. Some we have the opportunity to do tshuva. If every day we don't do tshuva, besides for the sin of the aver itself, there's an additional punishment we get for not wanting to do tshuva. So Bitzel says this is true the whole year round, but it's even more true from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippurim. Because the Gemara says, Dershu Hashem bihi matzoi. The Gemara wants to know, when is Hashem available? And the Gemara says, Eilu asara yamim serbein Rosh Hashanah liyom kippurim. And the Rambam himself codifies this. Rambam says, Afa pisha tshuva ve'atza'aka yofel oilam. Always a person could repent and scream to, and cry out to Hashem. Ba'asar yam serbein Rosh Hashanah kippurim yofuhu b'yoyser. It's very easy. Hashem empowers us. Hashem motivates us to do tshuva. Shnema dershu Hashem bihi matzoi. Kira'u b'hirais karayv. When is Hashem karayv? During Aseris Yimei Tshuva. So during Aseris Yimei Tshuva, it's even easier to do tshuva. Starting Rosh Hashanah through Yom Kippur, it's even easier for a person to repent. So now, the Rabbeinu Yoina just got finished saying that it's not every time you do an Aveira, it's not just Aveira. It's since we have the ability to do tshuva and we don't do tshuva, the Aveira is even worse. And that's even compounded during Aseris Yimei Tshuva. Now let me read you a very interesting Gemara in Gemara Neumann Daf Pei Zayin, then we'll put it all together. The Gemara says like this, Rab Zera ki havale milsa, when Rab Zera would have a dispute with somebody, Behadi Inish, have a chalaf v'toni l'kamei, he would pass by the guy, umam silei, and make himself available, ki echa denesi v'nek le'midayte, that a person should reconsider and maybe make up with Rab Zera. And the Gemara recounts a story. Rav havale milsa bahadi ahu tavcha. Rav wantem had a dispute with a butcher. This is Gemara Neumann Daf Pei Zayin. Loi asu lekamei b'mayli Yom Kippurim. The butcher did not come to him to try to amend and make good the friendship. So what did Rav do? Amar ihu, Rav says, Eza anol ifusei. Meaning, although the butcher did something wrong to Rav, Rav was the bigger person. Rav took the initiative to go to the butcher to try to make amends. Paga be Rav Huna, while Rav was walking to the butcher, Rav Huna bumped into Rav and said, Amalei leheichako, ozel, mar, where are you going? So Rav says, Amalei lefius lepain, I'm going to try to make up with the butcher. Amar, Rav Huna said, ezel abba lemiktel nafsha. Rav Huna, I don't know if he told this to Rav, has said to himself, he's going to get that butcher killed. Because Rav Huna knew the nature of that butcher, and he knew that butcher is going to be stubborn. Anyways, Rav walks into the butcher shop. Yosef, the Ozal, not, excuse me, Ozal the Kami lawyer. Rav went into the butcher shop and stood near the counter where the butcher was chopping meat. Have a Yosef Kapali Resha. The butcher was in the middle of working on an animal. He was chopping up bones, the head of the animal. Dalieni, the butcher lifted up his eyes to see who is the customer that's standing nearby. V'chazye, he saw Rav. Amalei Abba'at, you're Abba, you're Rav. Zil, Leslie Milzabadach, get out of here, I don't want to have anything to do with you. That's pretty rude. Rav was the bigger person in this relationship. Rav came to him, even though the butcher should have went to Rav. Besides the fact it was the butcher that wronged Rav, Rav was also the Gadol Hadar. The butcher spoke with tremendous chutzpah. The Gemara says something very unfortunate happened. Bahadich bahadi de kapali reisha, while the butcher was chopping the head of the animals, a freak accident happened. Ishtamet garma, a bone jumped out, umachye bekuye vekatle, and hit the butcher in the throat, and he died on the spot, Erev Yom Kippur. So, first of all, Reb Itzel says 2 points in this Gemara. Where did Rav learn that this is the right thing to do? Rav learned, and this is something Rabbi Saul Salanta always says, to look through Chazal, Tanakh, or even the Bria, and to see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the world and is noig the world, and that's the way we should act. We go through life, we wrong Hashem. Hashem gave us Tayag Mitzvahs, and we wrong Him. So, Hashem could just say to you, okay, do tshuva when do tshuva. But Hashem comes to us, kaviyachol. During Aser Simei Tshuva, Hashem motivates us to do tshuva. That's no different than Rav going to the butcher to try to get the butcher to make up. But we also see something very unfortunate. If you don't do tshuva, like the butcher, who is stubborn and refused to make up, the einish for that is very, very great. So Reb Itzel says, this is the idea why one mitzvah won't tip the scale. When we look at averus and mitzvahs, you have to first understand one point. When we're talking about Hashem weighs mitzvahs versus averus, so the Rambam explains this point. It doesn't mean 50 averus versus 50 mitzvahs. That wouldn't make sense. Let's say I mass murdered 50 people, and 50 times during the year I gave a check to the UJA. It doesn't mean you're even now, just because you did 50 small mitzvahs and you did 50 large mitzvahs. Or similarly, let's say 10 times during the year I snuck into Gaza Strip, I was mice and nefesh to save Jewish children and save their lives from a lifelong life of being a Palestinian. I was mice and my nefesh 10 times, like 10 times during the year, you know, like they do in Leiv Lachim. And 10 times during the year, I made the wrong bracha on rice. Okay, that's an avera. You don't say, okay, you're even now, you're a benini. No, each mitzvah is assigned a value. But at the end of the day, Hashem's going to weigh the value. Some mitzvahs have a large value, some mitzvahs have a small value, but Hashem puts it all on the scale. So what are you going to do? So we asked the question, if you're a benini, you're exactly in the middle. So we said, why don't you just do one mitzvah? Why do you have to do tshuva? Because one mitzvah is not going to tip the scale. Because the avera that you're doing by not doing tshuva is so great, like that butcher, who Rav came to him, and you didn't do tshuva, that avera is so great, then your one mitzvah is not going to tip the scale. Again, it's not one mitzvah versus one avera. It's a value of a mitzvah versus a value of avera. The value of one mitzvah is not going to tip the scale of the tremendous avla we're doing during Aser Simei Tshuva if we don't do tshuva. That's a bit of Petterberger's Teretz. The problem with this teretz is, Rav Huntner does not like, it's a philosophical question. I'm going to tell you what Rav Huntner says. Rav Huntner says, at the end of the day, it's still a numbers game. And that comes out something very strange. On Rosh Hashanah, so I come to Shul, let's say I'm a Beinoni. I come to Shul, and I offer the guy sitting next to me my machzer. Okay, now I'm a tzaddik. Then I sneeze, and I don't cover my nose and mouth. Okay, now I'm a Rasha. I go home, I say good yom tov with a smile to my wife. I'm now a tzaddik again. Then I criticize her because the honey cake is not moist enough for me. So now I'm a Rasha, and then I yell at my kids, and then I'm nice to my kids. What, the whole day I'm now fluctuating back between tzaddik and Rasha? That just doesn't sit well, that you become a tzaddik and a Rasha, a person fluctuating during the day between what he is, a tzaddik and a Rasha. And that's A. And another question you got to ask, but well, if it's a numbers game, how do you ever have a Beinoni? Every second of the day, Rav Huttner one time said, a different maimer, there's no Switzerland in Avodas Hashem. There's nothing neutral. Everything you do in life is either good or bad. So if I'm wasting time in life, I'm doing something wrong. If I'm doing something productive in life, I'm doing something good. So what does that mean, you're Beni? How is it ever even possible that you should have a billion zchusim and a billion, and it just matches up perfectly? That's my problem. It just doesn't feel right. It's a numbers game. Because of this, Rav Huttner says another definition of what it means, tzaddik, rosh, and beinoni, similar to the way the Bala Tanya explains it in the Sefer Tanya. Basically, the idea is like this. When we talk about a rosh, a tzaddik, and a beinoni in Yom Kippur, it does not mean numbers. How many big pile of mitzvahs, big pile of eris? The Rav Huttner says, it's a mida hu benefesh. Let me explain what that means. Rav Huttner gives a mashal. You could have two people. Both get impatient and both people are patient. But what are you? Are you a patient person that sometimes has momentary lapses with anger and impatience? Or are you an angry person that every so often you get yourself together and you have some patience? And that is true with all mitzvahs of the Torah. What's your relationship to chet? What's your relationship to mitzvahs? If your relationship to mitzvahs and averis, mitzvahs, is that you love doing mitzvahs, you want to do mitzvahs. Yes, we all struggle and we sometimes have a lap, that's you, and then you're a tzaddik. If you love doing sin and averis and disappointing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and sometimes you have a change of heart and you'll do some good, that's a rasha. A beinoni means you have no affinity to toiv or ra. So Rav Huttner's answer to the question is, if you're a beinoni, we ask the question, why don't you just do one mitzvah? Because one mitzvah doesn't reshape your relation to techeit or to mitzvahs or to toiv or to ra. The only way we could change our relationship is redefine ourselves. And that's where tshuva comes in. And this is a beautiful idea. When we come to Rosh Hashanah and Aseret Yemei Tshuva and Yom Kippur, the idea is not, okay, we have a big pile of iris, we're going to make the pile small, and then hopefully we're going to tip the scale because everything's going to be off balance. That's not what this is all about. We all have our challenges. What are you? And this is very important to what I spoke about the last week. Let's say a person doesn't learn enough Torah. He's a person that doesn't learn Torah. A person shouldn't now say, you know what, next year I'm going to be like a pshach, I'm going to learn 20 hours a day. That's very silly. So what do we say? Take a small Kabbalah. Make a Seder with somebody for 10 minutes a day. Learn some Mishnayos 10 minutes a day. That was a practical idea we gave last week. But it's more than that. Now you change yourself to a person. You identify yourself as a person who learns Torah every day. The Chavetz Chaim writes this in his Akdama, similar thing. He says, what's the point of Shmiras Halashen if anyways we keep on messing up? Yeah, it's a big difference. Before a person makes a Seder in Shmiras Halashen every day, he's a person who's nonchalant about the sin of Shmiras Halashen. When you make a Seder, even if it's 2 minutes a day, I redefine myself. I'm a person that studies Shmiras Halashen. I'm a person that's cognitive of the sin of Shmiras Halashen. And this is true for all our little demons in our life. That tshuva is not just getting the numbers down. Let's whittle the numbers down, right? I've 100 pounds of sin and 100 pounds of averes. Let's whittle it down. And then the scales will be tipped and I'm good to go. That's not what this is about. We have to redefine ourselves in Rosh Hashanah. It starts by redefining who's the king on Rosh Hashanah. And we remember Zechrinus on Rosh Hashanah. And the Shefa motivates us on Rosh Hashanah. And b'schus that, we shall all have a chasiva v'chasima taiva and a good gebench to yar. Kol tov.
Amen.